Okay, well, I do.
Okay, good. Well, maybe we should set a time to...
I'll pop and talk about it in class.
Oh, okay. We can do that. I won't be prepared, you know.
That's okay.
Okay.
You did the work.
Yeah. Well, I did the easy stuff, the actual throwing, not the,
Yeah, well, that's the work.
Oh, okay.
Reading is easy.
I consider the reading part the hard part, because, you know, for that I have to still study.
Sure. Okay, well, I'm sorry that you're having eruptions, so to speak.
I don't know if it's eruptions or actually a girlfriend who doesn't do magic but doesn't know anything about it. She said something like, "Isn't it interesting? It's been raining all week and you've had diarrhea all week."
Oh dear, yes, yes, yes.
I said excess water flow outside and inside.
Yes, and so. And is Doc there too?
Yes, he is.
Oh, good. Yes, yes. And Sharon, are you there? Or Ayla?
Yes, I just got on. This is Ayla.
Hey, Ayla?
I got right on. First time I tried.
That's very good. And Sharon? Sharon isn't with us yet, but she might pop in. So, my candle is actually already lit. Oh, that's not enough. Lit and savage. It's not savagely lit. It's just light. Light and lit and lighted. Okay. Let's see here. Child of thunder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our age. Tiddly pump. Simulacrum. Oh my goodness. Do you all know this is the last class?
This is the last class?
For basic magic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we should be
having
a 30 or
something. I know. It seems so. Really, indeed. Well, we would, except that we can't actually graduate until people have finished their spells. But, you know, we can walk in our magical selves, which is what we were doing anyway. So, Ayla, do you want to talk to us about, or get us to talk to you about walking in our magical selves?
Or have everyone talk to each other about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly that. Sharing, we call it. Sharing with each other about our magic spells.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody's on except for Sharon, right? Sharon's not here yet?
Haven't heard her voice as yet.
Okay. Hey, well, Nanette, since I have only heard you talk, I know you're there. Do you want to share what happened to you this week?
You think as a result of that?
I'm not sure, but I noticed it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have amoebic dysentery, I can tell you what to take that will stop it immediately. It is a product called Umi Tar, Plum Tar.
Okay.
And it's a little hard to find, but what I mean by that is a lot of health food stores don't carry it, but carry other... You're familiar with umeboshi plums? Right. But this is a tar made from that, made in Japan. And it's called Umi Banakishi or something like that. But if you ask for the plum tar, now some places they have plum paste, that's not it. It comes in a small jar, and it looks just like tar. And it tastes, it's as alkaline as you can ingest. Very, very sour. Okay? And it is, it so alkalizes the intestines immediately. I've even given it to people with La Turista in Mexico. 15 minutes later, it's gone. I don't remember, but I do imagine that you could get it from Alfalfa's. No, in Boulder. In Boulder. You could call Alfalfa's in Boulder.
Actually, they go under the name Wild Oats now.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, so call Wild Oats.
Yeah, and because that's where we bought it.
You want the Wild Oats in Boulder on Arapahoe and Broadway. They're expanding and they're all over the place now. But you want that one.
Right.
You know, I take their day, and I go to work, and I come home, and I sleep, and I did manage to get a couple of meetings then, right for my directors and limiters.
Good.
That was just a major accomplishment, you know, given all the other paperwork I was having to spend on. That's my week.
You were walking in your magical self, whether you knew it or not.
Yeah, you're well the way to writing your director's letter. That's great.
You may be the only one. I don't know.
You got some done?
Yeah.
Well, I borrowed a bit from yours. You know, I looked at the structure, and you know, you wrote down one thing of what you wanted to accomplish. You know, a couple of things you wanted to not accomplish.
That's the idea. And your reading was good. I'll tell you about your reading.
And you did a lot, even getting through it. That's great. And Doc, is Doc there?
He's probably got the mute button
on. Okay, well, I can go to Dom first, or we can go to Dom first if you want to have time to change or something. Okay, Dom.
Yes, you did.
And it was a fabulous class, and I totally enjoyed being in it. And in doing so, it was like I raced right up to the point of being in the class, and then sat down and just missed out of class, in the class. And so I felt a dedication to my magical self, a sense
that went into my soul for having come into my life for that system. I felt that, you know, that thing slowly. I have felt that kind of thing that I am doing exactly what I need to be doing by living a magical life. And when I asked Sierra, the little girl that I'm working with, on healing her heart, something over there went. Which was for her to see her heart and lungs to be perfect. She nodded, yes, and put peace into my eyes with a spiritual feeling that went way beyond her intimate atmosphere. And what happened between us in that moment made me have to be an example for her of living in that self.
Those are special moments.
Yeah. That's great.
She knew, and I knew that everything was possible. That's wonderful.
Doc, are you there?
I am here.
That's great.
Hey, Doc.
Hello. How's everybody?
Wonderful.
Good.
It was a plan.
Yeah, well, yes, kind of business involved, massage involved, fitness involved, got a little high dollars. And this person started out just, you know, just showing signs of healing, getting better, putting things together in their life, starting to make better choices about their health, about their, the way they thought about themselves. And then all of a sudden, it's like somebody pulled the rug out from under me. I couldn't tell you what happened there, but this was really bringing me down. Started to bring me down. So I used what I knew about myself. I was doing all the right things. Not the negativity, but she was throwing my way. It was very interesting.
Was that your intention?
To build myself back up?
Well, no, to have her sort of disconnect from you guys?
Yes, exactly. Once that, whatever her needs were, started to rear their ugly head, I started fortifying myself. Some self-affirmation. You know, clearing my mind of doubt.
Well, a lot of times things in life are strange, and as magical people, we accept that and do what we need to do. So that's really
good. Yeah. I thought it was a great learning experience for me.
Oh, yeah.
How's your come along working?
Oh, wonderfully.
Good. Cool. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, fabulous. Good.
Okay.
So pleased. I'm so pleased.
Oh, yeah.
Is it coming a little easier for you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Everybody's coming along.
That's really cool. Well,
that's really cool. Well, think about it. We've been at this for 30 weeks now.
Yeah, I mean, it takes that long just to dig out the left hand from the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all of you all have gotten such really fine results in so many different areas. It's really cool.
Yes, and everyone kept with everything and is changing. And you know, so some people wouldn't have gotten this far. So this is great.
Yeah. Oh, really?
With her telling me that she had sent two emails already, which I haven't hit the computer yet. But, so what I did was
isn't that amazing that that's already actualizing even before you did your spell?
Well,
haven't I
already been starting to do it?
I just focused
on
the tarot cards. Oh, of course. I mean, you haven't even, released it.
Oh,
it's really nice to see the results, and then it's like the carrot before the horse. It's just so exciting, and then I get the energy to pull more. That's so great. What, Sharon, are you on yet? Okay.
Back to work tonight.
Oh, come so. Well, walking in my magical self this week was good for me. I started to work on, I got diverted from a few, the spell I was working on my way, and actually, I've lost a total of 17 pounds now that I'm still working on that spell. And so it really, I don't know, I haven't had any desire to have any fats or any sugars, and I don't even think about it, and I couldn't even tell you why, but this spell works just like that. And then I'm working on another spell that I just decided to do this week because I got laid off on my job last Monday. And so I'm like, ooh, so I'm working on this other spell, and my thoughts were, you know, in the meantime of getting a job, well, I can work temp, and I already got called out, except for it was 4 days, and it was given away to me because she couldn't get a hold of me fast enough, and I still had was working those 4 days next week anyway. I'm not actually completely leaving this other employer until July 3rd. But that's already started in the wind, and I don't feel, by working on the spell and doing my director's millimeters, and Ellen, I'll have to call you tomorrow or the next day about that when I can, and to go over those with you, because I'm going to be doing it in kind of a short timeline. I don't feel any angst or worry about it. So, and I did before I started working on the spell. So,
Ayla?
Yes.
Fax them to me.
Okay. I'll fax
much
them to you.
Quicker. Yeah, that's much quicker.
Okay, I'll fax them to you. And a friend of mine who has a long background in the Wicca art called me and said that she'd like to spell, but she wanted me to be there. So I've never seen that kind of thing, so I was with her today, seeing what was going on. I was just real curious, and it was real interesting. And it was just like a whole magical week of stuff. So, and like you, Doc, I feel like everything's just like coming along, and you know, you just don't go any other way. So it's been a lot of magic this week, and just magic in the air, and I feel real good.
So what was that like? She actually launched her spell?
Yes, she did.
Was it a candle spell?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to what we do?
Yes and no. Yes, but things that, no carving of the candle.
Okay. But anointed?
No.
No.
No. There's all kinds of, I guess, candle spells that she does, but this was a very simple, short, so that, you know, I could watch, and it wasn't a big long ceremony thing.
Sure.
And it was interesting.
Cool.
And she does tarot, and only uses the deck that we do. And I noticed that, you know, because there's all kinds of tarot decks out there, and I looked at her deck and I said, oh. She goes, yes, I can't use any other deck. They just don't produce the kind of energy that this is so good. And I was like, yeah, this is great. That's what I use. It was very interesting.
Cool. Yes, you definitely were walking in your magical self, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I realized in all of y'all talking about how your spells are already activating before you've done this, the above and beyond massage alcohol business is already taking clients and is attracting new massage therapists as well.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
So I think all of our spells are already working.
So do you have, in yours, did you have like a timeline for when so many calls per week or something?
Not yet, that's what I have to do.
Okay.
What I want to do is up to Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just was wondering, you know, as you sort of thinking about it, is that actual number already increasing?
Yes, and it's a little bit low right now, and what I'm realizing is that was part of my intent at the beginning, too, to give us a little time to get on our feet.
Right.
But just the way things are still falling together, I realize that the spells aren't working.
Cool.
And but it fits with something big.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like I'm teaching right now 3 magic courses, well, 3 courses, and planning like a 4th course, and we're getting ready for our end ritual here, and yeah, I would say nothing but magic going on in these parts.
Yep, and I tell you what, everybody, that magical self-defense class the other night was fantastic.
And that'll also be available for direct sale, too, on the website.
Yeah.
And then, so, then that has done... Oh, and of course, there is an actual exit ritual even for the last class. Even though we may not get to report about it, but it is in awareness, I agree with you. But then we may get a chance to report it anyway. substance, we'll probably be talking about spells and stuff from some of you till they're done in any event. And then Nanette sent me her reading and her directives and limiters, and the one that interested me the most, of course, was the reading on the directives and limiters, because that's what double checks those. Nanette, are you on? Okay. Oh, you have a copy of your reading?
I am walking over to it now.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. This is very simple. What I looked at right away was the future line, which has three reverses. You've got a three of cups reverse, you've got a three of swords reverse, and you've got a queen of cups reverse. I'm not even worried about the second cards right now. That's right. So, those three things are the summation of what we talked about in last class, of the effects of power relationships on your beliefs and so forth. So, you see, because those do not go on from there into the far future, that's what the spell is handling.
Oh, okay, so it takes
care of all that. Yes. And so the only thing you have to concern yourself with is the Justice reverse Knight of Wands in the far future. Because that means in some way it's directly telling you your spell directives and limiters are breaking rules of the road.
The directives and limiters are breaking
rules of the road. Yeah, that's what Justice reverse means. So when you look at your directives and limiters, you look to see, okay, in what way am I causing a problem? And there's two things that show up right away. In your first one, I'll read it so everybody can get, you know, see what's happening here. To create passive income of $5,000 to $10,000 per month by June of 2008, the upper limit and date may be extended later if so desired. Okay. Everything is fine there, except the upper limit and date may be extended later if so desired. It's totally antithetical. It doesn't belong in there.
Now, why is that?
Because it's not needed. If you want to extend it, extend it.
Oh, okay. So, in other words, that's just extraneous.
Well, it's not only extraneous, but anytime you add something to a spell that is extraneous, it cripples the spell.
Oh, okay. So, the upper limit and date may be extended later if so desired.
Yeah. Because you can always do so, but you don't have to tell the spell that.
Oh, okay.
And then, in number three...
Wait, I have a question. How is that breaking the rules of the road? Because I understood that to be like buying not really bound.
You're binding your own spell.
So that's a binding the own spell by saying, I can do something later.
Yeah, because it's putting a limiter, a condition on the spell that doesn't belong there. See, anything you say in a spell that does not belong is a condition that affects the spell. There is no such thing as, and I don't know what you would call it, but you know, in poetry you can sort of, you know what I mean when you talk about purple prose? Flowery language that is there for effect. Superfluous, thank you.
Oh, okay.
You can't put superfluous things in a spell. Because everything you put in acts. It either acts for you or against you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's instead of taking a lot of time, you're looking for that. You keep looking for it, and I'm going to continue talking. Okay. Number three says the spell will be open to help, support, and empowerment from people, angels, and higher beings that can make a positive contribution. Instead of the spell will be open to, you either say, you can say the spell will attract help, and then you need to put that into your verses and your carvings. If you want that help, that's fine. But you can't leave it as an innuendo.
Okay, so
the
spell will attract.
Yeah, right. And then make sure you write that into your verses, see? Exactly what help you want. And then carve that, if that's significant, which it probably is, I would carve that in, you know, put that in one of your symbols. Which help do you want? Well, I mean, you can do it fairly generic. You don't have to specify the very angel. But if you want angels, I would say angels. If you want other beings, I would maybe talk about which other beings. Granted, this is not an area you've studied a whole lot in, at least with us, but because you haven't studied hierarchy yet, but if you've worked with angels and you feel comfortable with that, then I would keep it there. If you've worked with other beings that you know of and are comfortable with, then you could include them. Don't keep it generic.
Oh, okay. So just
another word. Well, because you're opening a door that you may not understand, don't you see?
Okay, so the spell will attract, I
should
just take it
time
with people.
No, angels would be fine. But don't just make it, you know, like open the gate to whoever might pass by, because that may not be fruitful.
Maybe they may communicate in ways that I don't understand or something. Is that what you're
saying? Well, that or help is a curious word. And some help may not be very useful. So, you kind of, if you want help, angels are very good because they are very ready, capable, and willing to help things like this. You know. You could specify what you want them to do in your verses. If you want to, I would. I don't know about the people, because I don't know what people would be doing to help. Well, of course I do. People would be coming as clients, right?
Well, yes, and also, you know, I
word of mouth.
Yeah, I've had a hard time this year with getting things done, like getting an account to return my phone call, and what it would take me to write her a check.
Okay. Okay, so be sure and in some way indicate that in your verses. Because if that's an important factor, that you want not only clients, but good, you know, backup support for your business? I would include that. You know, don't make it a big feature necessarily or any bigger than it is, but in some way you can sort of work it in, because that's an important factor. And you've covered it nicely with your directives. That's fine. And see, the directives give set the general condition, which you did. And then your verses kind of tell the story. Do you see? Yeah. Right, right. You don't set this to rhyme. You write rhyming verses that include these features. They don't have to say everything that your directors and limiters say. And that would be totally inappropriate. What you do is you go through your directors, well, we'll talk about that, we're talking about it. So you go through your directors and limiters once they are approved by reading, and you underline what you consider the most important features. And you work those into your spell verses. But your spell verses tell the story. The directors and limiters do not tell a story. They're not meant to. They direct and limit. And so both get into the spell. You know. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Just tell us what you saw. If I were looking at that now, I would change it.
You'd say, oh, that should be
support. Well, I should either get the support or not get the support.
No, I say not
only, but
get it or not.
Yeah, right on.
No.
Yeah, because if you leave it like it's sort of not a request, it's an inference, and spells don't work well with inferences. Sure would.
Oh, okay. Okay, so these aren't necessarily like perfect models.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
They're examples.
Okay.
And we work to always create better, you know, directors and limiters.
Okay.
You know, and like anything else, when you do a reading, you never get a perfect reading. You know? So you cover your major points. I probably had done 10 or 12 readings to get just to that point, you know, and I probably got a reading that looked pretty okay, you know, so I didn't worry about, and I didn't know enough to know all of those factors at that point, but I've done a lot of spells since then, and I've worked with people on their spells, and I know more and more that the more succinct you can be, and the more clear, the better it works. You know, so, yeah, I'm not criticizing you, I'm just letting you know what I feel will work better for you. Yeah, and only, I mean, if you had not gotten, say, a Justice Reverse Knight of Wands in the far future, I probably wouldn't have picked up on those either. but I had to satisfy that justice reversed, don't you see? Because you don't want to be hanging out with a justice reversed. That's too big. But everything else you've got in that reading looked fine, you know, so not even a problem, nothing here that I see, you know, like even that Two of Swords reverse tower in present time, because obviously in present time you're still wrestling with what choices you make. What we talked about, and I honor what you said, you know, that I've done a lot of work. I don't think about these guys much anymore. I don't think about those relationships much anymore. And that is true, and I understand that. And then, of course, what we're discovering more and more is that it isn't just what we do in conscious mind that affects our lives. It is our unconscious beliefs that have a very strong effect. And, of course, how do they come through? They come through in our opinions, our behaviors, our, what would you call it, our customs and traditions, if you will, our personality quirks, right? And it's like, magically, what we're always trying to do, undertaking to do, is to clean up those loose ends to be more effective. If you came to me and you said, everything in my life is wonderful, I have all the money I could want or need, I have a wonderful husband and child. I have a lovely home. My career is going great guns. I love the things I'm studying and doing and so forth and so on. I would, and of course, if we had not done the reading either, you know, I would not have any grounds to say there's some loose agendas here. There's some hidden agendas here. However, me or anyone, when we say, I want these areas of my life to improve, then what we want to do is find out, are there any factors in my control that have to do with either the improvement or lack of improvement of those conditions in my life? And since every master teacher that I know of says, and you're reading Emmett Fox yourself, who says that the outer world is created by my thoughts and feelings in my inner world. So if that's what they're all saying, then if I'm not doing as well as I want to, there is something in my thought-feeling combination that is denying that. So, but you see, you've done well in not only your willingness to work on that and understand that, but protecting yourself from it. So, and the reading shows that. Because if you hadn't, you see, what would happen is that the Two of Swords reverse tower would have, say, gone, well, it does go up to Three of Swords reverse, Five of Cups, right? Right. But it would have gone on from there, and it does not. Because the justice reverse, if you're looking for lines, would come from temperance reverse moon, or judgment reverse Two of Cups. Well, judgment reverse Two of Cups, is that not the very issue we were talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. But judgment reversed to a cup says, not having learned from your spiritual experience about how to handle relationships. It doesn't say bad relationships, but it still is talking about relationships. In your past, it doesn't say in present time. So every reading that you have done has keynoted that. So I'm not making it up. You know, and so you are doing just what you want to do to keep it out of your spell. This is how we do it. This is exactly right. Did everybody else sort of understand this? Ayla, was it clear to you? Whoops, did we lose Ayla?
No, I'm here. I just had to get off mute. Yes, that's clear to me.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't know if that helps you, you said, because you're dealing with your own direct limiters.
Yeah. But, no, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so we'll go over yours individually, but I think this is very good, and I really do. Yeah, perfect. It's just perfect. Are difficult to find examples of too, you know. A lot of times these things affect us more in tone than in perhaps specific behaviors that we can identify. No, but it might color, for instance, your overall kind of take, say, on men in ways that aren't even necessarily definable. And it's not, if you have a willingness to let go of anything that you know, because see, this may have started way before this lifetime. And you may have actually come in this lifetime to clear this up. And that could be the very reason that you, say, attracted those relationships. I mean, sure, then one would say, my God, is that the way we learn? But look around you, is that not the way people learn? By going through the very things that they don't want to go through? That's what I see. That's what I've done. So, okay, any questions on this process at all? When I talk about writing verses and carving candles, you will understand. So then you use your verses to tell your story. You can write it in prose first and then in verse if you want. I tend to think well in verse, but... You mean to write your spell verses?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Looking at that, what does that tell you in terms of writing the director's manager? We can go into detail or not, I don't care, but how do you use that piece of figuring it out?
Well, you look at whatever seems to be major factors, you know. For instance, in that one, isn't it interesting that that Two of Cups reverse judgment shows up in the past line? Just the reverse of the judgment reverse Two of Cups?
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, so we know about that. We won't really have to beat that one into the ground. We've already taken care of it. And then, if I look at, let's say, well, one thing that's really cool is that Empress High Priestess line, which is in the past. So, and based on that, you see, asking for help from, say, non-physical beings or non-human beings is certainly warranted when you've got an Empress that talks about grandmother's world, second card by High Priestess, saying, well, yeah, you've worked with those beings before in magical ways. And then that goes up to a Chariot moon in present time. That's a pretty strong suit, isn't it? Right, which is also very, very good. Okay, now, of course, the Hierophant reverse justice is already sort of a little warning about be careful how you kind of mediate this thing in regards to rules of the road. Okay? So, but not serious, it's in present time. Then, okay, so I look up and I see, okay, everything in your future line is reversed, right? Well, yeah, but by the second future, only you've dropped two of those reverses. So that's, you can't expect a spell of this sort because you're asking for a fair significant increase on the physical realm. It's going to obviously have to overcome resistance. So then you look at the factors and you say, well, here's the resistance. Page of Cups reverse, I know about that, that's my emotions. Six of Swords reverse, oh, past lives, huh? Okay, cool, we talked about that. Six of Swords? Yeah, that's the swords in the boat. Three of Swords reverse, whoa, there's your heartbreak card. Queen of Wands reverse, there's your principles and ideas. So, you know, what's amazing about this, it's all talking about the same stuff. It's nothing different. No way. No way. Because you see the sum result of all of those, look at that Eight of Discs reverse star. But that's the very thing you want to correct. Exactly. Not having your career working in regards to your spiritual understanding, your spiritual station, or your spiritual standing is a better way of saying it. Okay, your spiritual position. Well, if it's not working in relative to your spiritual position, how come? Is it because the universe doesn't like them that? I don't think so. Exactly. So, no, it's telling you what the problems are. Now, don't get me wrong. If instead of that, what you saw there was Ace of Discs reverse tower, Death reversed Knight of Swords, in other words, stuff that had nothing to do with those issues, that may be saying, I don't think a spell is going to work for you right now. Okay? Yeah, or you can't leverage enough power right now. Probably, yeah. Because nothing's forever, right? You know? But see, you don't have any extraneous stuff here. So it's not that. It does go up to that Knight of Swords reverse in the far future, Ten of Cups. Well, that's right. That's still the same stuff. You can't aggressively create outside of your emotional happiness. Or against, in spite of, that would be a better word, in spite of your emotional happiness. You know, that breaks the laws. So it's a great reading because it covers every side of every factor that all boils down to exactly the same thing, your experience with relationships in the past. And I can bet you anything that when you see something like that, you can bet your life that has a lot to do with your motivation of why you came here. Because you had probably done it lifetime after lifetime, and you said, look, this is getting old. I am tired of it. Let's come in here and set up the situations and have enough awareness and consciousness and enough good teachers. I'm going to clear this stuff up. Yeah. Right on. So when you write your verses, write your story of your spell. What you wanted to do, how you wanted to do, what are the factors, and so forth. Don't just recopy your directions and limiters. Now is your chance to be creative. Not to bring in factors that aren't needed, but to amplify and sculpt the working of the spell. And then the carvings just pick up the chief features of that and give it greater depth and meaning. Okay, so simulacra magic. Simulacra or simulacrum is a likeness, similar, from the word similar. And it is basically the foundation of all voodoo magic, types of voodoo magic. Whether it be symbols, carvings, letters, pictures, documents, whatever. It is creating something which stands or symbolizes, i.e. accesses something else, and then skillfully tying the two together, magically. And there is just, it's a huge area of magic, and there is virtually no end to the kinds of simulacra that you can either utilize or create. As it says, photographs, pictures, dolls, models, lists, symbols, tarot layouts, objects, all of those are possible simulacra. When you, now, the degree of likeness is a factor. It is not the only factor, but it is a factor. And the degree of likeness to your perception is a stronger factor than it is to somebody else's. In other words, you say, this model to me perfectly represents that situation. Then that is so. Even though someone else may say, I don't get it. That's right, you're not dealing with their world, you're dealing with your world. However, avoid man-made materials that are unnatural, because oftentimes they are hard or won't key. Plastic does not key well. Although some of the more contemporary resin type things do key well. And the reason for that is they're actually made from natural products, i.e. some of your plaster resins, I mean, when I say marble resins, are made from ground marble. That works. Some of your wood statues that are like now formed in a mold are made from ground wood. That works. So how do you key what we call a piece? We refer to simulacres as pieces, or a piece. How do you key a piece? Very easy. You hold it in your output hand, which is your right hand if you're right-handed, and you think of all the features you can of what it represents. If it's a person, you think about their manners, their habits, their way of speaking, their looks, their all their abilities, attributes, appearances, and so forth, while you're holding the piece firmly in your output hand. And as you think about and remember and recall, or conjure up, all of these memories and associations, at the same time, this is important, you flow the energy of that down your arm into the piece. Until the piece starts to feel alive or tingle or feel hot in your hand, then it's keyed. Or we say, when it feels charged. It is charged. Now, be careful what you do to that piece from then on, because anything you do to it will affect that which it represents. If you throw it across the room and break it, you may kill the person that you have keyed it to. And you are responsible by rules of the road. So just be careful. So, now what do you do with it? Now you got keyed, what do you do with it? And that also applies to pictures, photographs, whatever. Key them all the same. If it's a picture or photograph, you can't hold it in your hand and key it. You put it on your plate and key it, just like you do when you're picking a signifier from the deck. Or after you pick the signifier and put it on your plate, then you see the person in the card, or you see the person in the picture. You tie it, the picture, to the person or the thing. It may be a building. You tie the picture, it may be a contract. You tie the contract to the contract. Some years ago, not too many years ago, we prevented our house from being sold in Boulder, even though it was showed every day, practically for 4 months, to a series of potential buyers, and the prices reduced a number of times. They never even got an offer, because we put the thing under a chalice. Put the whole house under a chalice, a protector. So the first one we're looking at is a plate and chalice protective. So you have a key plate, and sometimes you need to get sort of bigger tools for this type of operation, depending. But you want a plate that's a fairly good size, but and you also want a chalice that locks down on it. Oh, we've got an echo again. Did somebody turn on a phone that was different from what they were using? Nope, it's back. Okay. Nope, it's there. Okay. we got an echo. Okay. Oh, now it's gone again. I heard a click, so somebody must have done something. But anyway, we won't worry about it. Can you all hear me okay? Ayla, can you hear me okay? Guess Ayla is non. Don?
Yes, you're
on. Okay. So, it could be useful to get some kind of a chalice that's more like a dome, and it doesn't have to be footed in this usage. But you still key it, just like you keyed your chalice. But you want one that fits well on a plate and matches the contour of the plate so there are no gaps. And so then you would, if you want to protect a person or an object from something, you would, of course, key the simulacra, the piece, to that person or object, put them on the key plate, put the key chalice down on top, upside down, of course, and then you lock it by turning it an eighth turn counterclockwise. And then you would have written some verses to say as to what it's supposed to do. And you can use this for all kinds of things, not just to protect something from something, i.e. like property from being sold, or a will from being dealt wrongly with or whatever, but a person that is afraid of something from that fear. Okay. Oh, we've got that echo back. Go ahead and talk. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's worked well?
It's worked beautifully, you know, in the distance when you're doing the main
experience. Mm-hmm. Right. Cool.
Yeah.
And there are some sample protector verses here, and they don't have to be complicated, but you just want to specify what you want it to do, basically. And now the second option of this chalice and plate protector is when you've got a person that's highly negative, kind of like the one the lady the doc described, could be an example. I did one for a court case. I've done several of them for court cases that looked very, very bleak. And you can put more than one person or one entity under a container of this kind. But in this case, you're putting what is negative or undesirable in the chalice and plate protector. And you have to foreign both. Or, if not foreign, you could use silver, highly polished. If you had a silver plate and a silver dome, you could do that. Otherwise, you just take foil, shiny side in, or to the surface, I mean, that you can see the shiny side, and you carefully line your plate, nice scotch tape it all to the underside so it's completely foiled on the outside, you know, on the surf eating surfaces, the top side. And then you foil the inside of the dome or chalice coming around the edge so that there's no, and look, make sure there are no light cracks too before you finish, because if there are light cracks, the energy can get out. And then you put the undesirable person or thing or law or whatever, the simulacra for that, on the plate. Now, if there's any danger in moving this around that piece will fall over, tape it down. You don't want it falling over. And then you set your dome on and lock it with that eighth turn counterclock. Now, when you need to open it again, you also turn it another eighth turn counterclock to open it. It locks and opens in the same turning direction. And then, of course, you write your verses to, as is indicated here, to prevent those energies, negative energies, that the person puts out from harming the, environment or anybody's sacred space or whatever. And you can put a rock of some kind in there, like an Apache tear or a piece of specular hematite, only if you want to help that person ground out some of that negativity and get rid of it so they don't poison themselves, because you're really beaming it back on them. They're doing it to themselves, but you're giving them a space in which they will experience that energy of their own. Any questions on that operation, either forms of it? Okay. So before we go on, we should talk about how you unkey a piece, because that's very important too. Because if anything you do to a simulacra piece affects that which it is tied to magically, it's a darn good way to know. I mean, we do want to know how to unkey it. We want to, as soon as with it, for whatever operation, we want to unkey it. And you simply do that with your thami and electric blue, the same as you would cut lines, pretty much the same as you would cut lines on a person, i.e., you take the piece and you, in electric blue, cut over it. Oh, no, you cut, no, first you cut around it, counterclock in a circle, in electric blue, full circle, instead of five sides, just a full circle with the edge of your knife going around. And then you cut over it, and then pick it up and cut under it, and then set it back down, and a little touch to it with the tip of the knife and a little blast of electric blue nullifies any last charge possibly in it to void. And then it is now just an ordinary piece, or whatever it was before. It is no longer linked to that person or object or thing. That's not the only way, but that's the best way. You can also bury it in the ground for a moon cycle. That's less positive. That's what Wicca people do, but it's less positive a way of disconnect. Plus, there's always a chance that someone else might unbury it before it was disconnected from that person. So I don't care for that method. You can also, if you have undesirable neighbors, you can move them out of the area with simulacra magic very conveniently. All you need is your plate and a map and a simulacra to represent them, either the group of them or the ringleader or whatever, say, for instance, maybe down the street from you there's a crack house and nobody's doing anything about it. Well, you can get rid of the whole bunch. And the way you do that, you need a map of your area, like a town map, city map, and you need a map of where you're going to send them. And traditionally, I've always sent every undesirable to Los Angeles. But you all are welcome to send them wherever you like.
Oh, it's
terrible. Yeah, well, I think you take one city and put them all in one place. Right. So, okay, here's how you do it. You take your map, fold it up so just where you specifically are is very clear. I even like to put a little X on the map approximately where you, their house is. You take the piece that you've keyed to that person or that group of people, and you put it on the map. Leave it there for a day. So now you have set up the condition as it is. They are there where they live. Next thing you do the next day is you take your key plate and you put it, now do this on your altar someplace, you know, where it's magically a good place to do it. Take your key plate, pick them up carefully, put your plate down on top of where they live, and put them now on the plate. You are now disconnecting them from where they live. Leave that there for a couple of days. Then, take the map of Los Angeles or wherever you want them to move to. Has to be specific. You don't have to put an actual location on that map. Just pick an area of the map. They'll find their own location. Put the plate down on your altar on that map. Get rid of the other map off your altar. Leave that there for a couple of days. Then take them off, the simulacra off the plate and put it on the map. Put your plate away. Leave that for a couple of days. Then unkey your simulacra. They will move within a month. Okay. Oh, you're just the end part?
Yeah.
Okay. You've got the plate on the new map. Then you take them off the plate and put them on the new map. Then leave that on for a couple of days. Then unkey the piece and get rid of the map. I mean, take the map off the altar. You're done. I've never had this not work. There were any student that did it, not had it not work. I'm sorry?
About how this works with criminals.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a little different. That's moving criminals to the police station.
Yeah.
Right. Right, that was a trick. If you have, like, I think it's in your notes, but if you have a serial killer or somebody really weird that's affecting a lot of people and you want to take care of it, if you can get a hit on where they are, and if you can get key a piece to them, you don't have to know what they look like. If you know enough about them, their M.O., so to speak, if you can key a piece to them, then, and you know where they're operating, You run the same procedure, but where you end up, the destination is pick a map and find where the police department is in that area, and put the X on the police department. So on your final move, you have them right on the police department, and this has worked. They will end up, they don't even know how or for what purpose. I mean, in one case, it was a serial killer, and on something just like parking tickets, ended up at the police station, and they realized who he was by a fingerprint or something. He was caught before you did, huh?
The day we decided to do it, he was caught. Yeah,
right.
It sort of like our spells coming through.
Right, right. You got the result anyway. You just got it ahead of time. Okay. So, another come along here. You've already all been dealing with us, so I won't spend time on that. But healing with simulacra, any magical operation that you have learned to do with any of your tools, you can do for someone that is not there by using a simulacra. It's always good to put the simulacra on your plate, but you can sweep them, pull energies out, do anything you want. You can also use drawings of specific organs. You can use models that have actual organs in them. They make dolls that have organs. Anything that you can create that you can key to a person or a part of a person, you can work on. And we do that a lot. We do it for animals because sometimes it's easier to do it on the model. In fact, I don't anymore, I haven't done it for a while. I used to do whole acupuncture treatments like that if I have an acupuncture model. And I would just put it on a plate with a person's picture, key the two together, and then do a treatment. It'll work stronger if you put it on your plate.
That's what I just feel. Wow.
Yeah. Because the plate is a broadcaster.
Yeah.
That's the same way you know they do with the Malcolm Ray stuff.
Radionics.
Yeah. And then a lot of those machines have, and some of them are fairly complex, they have little antennas that broadcast out and they, broadcast it right into the person's body and stuff.
Yeah. So we don't even need those things to bring
on. No. And there's that thing about habits, too. Disconnecting people from their addictive habits. Now, obviously, you don't want to be doing this without a person's permission. But if you put a person on the plate with any item key to their habit, such as an empty booze bottle or a pack of cigarettes or whatever, and then you remove the addictive substance, leave them on the plate, and put the addictive substance either on, under or next to the plate, but off the plate, you are helping to disconnect them on the physical and psychic levels. that does not necessarily mean that you're going to clear up the reasons why they of their, you know, the causes of their addiction, but it will help. It's not like it's going to do all the work for them. The communication problem one is a really cool. Now this is where, when you're dealing with groups of people or individuals where communications break down, and all of you all have talked about this at one time or another, this is really an effective way. Again, you use your plate or a platter even keyed, depending on how many people you're dealing with. And if it's a group of people, get a piece keyed for each person and put them in a circle on the plate. You can, now if it's groups in cliques, like in corporations or businesses, arrange them according to, and you can even write their names on their little pieces, arrange them according to the groups, put them closer together in the groups they tend to click into and so forth at first. And then leave them there for a while. And then evenly spread them out in a circle, because you want everybody to connect or relate or communicate. So you use your wand for this. And so if you just want them to start communicating, what you do is you take your wand and you go from each person, and you put your wand, say, behind that person's head, and you shoot a beam of white or powder blue or both, one at a time, of course, energy beam through person A to person B, and then through person A to person C, and person A to person D, and so forth. So you've covered every person in the group. Then you go to person B and do the same thing, to A, C, D, E, and so forth. Person C and do the same thing, and you will get them to start communicating. They may not like each other, but they will communicate. On the other hand, if you have one person that's always communicating poorly to another person, say controlling, gossiping, betraying, stuff like that. There's a way to deal with that too. You put them, each one facing the other on the plate. You draw a line from the bad communicator with your wand through the bad communicator to the innocent person at head level. You put a line at heart level from the innocent person over to the bad communicator with your wand, white or powder blue. You take your thami and you cut the top line only from the bad communicator to the innocent person, and you have cut off that communication. But you left open the other communication. If you want to add a second line from the bad communicator to the innocent person at heart level, you can. And leave it, once you've drawn those lines, leave it set up for a day or so to instill it into the actual people, then unkey your pieces, of course. Okay, and the last item that we want to talk about of new things is keying a sun crystal. This is a great operation to do for any of you or any of someone you know who's going to be in a life-threatening situation, particularly for surgery or any kind of situation like that where the person could lose their life but does not really have a lot of say in what's going on. I mean, if you're undergoing surgery, you don't have a lot of control as to what happens. To do this, you need to get yourself a crystal ball, not quartz. An acrylic crystal ball will work just fine. Or actually, glass is the best. German or Austrian lead crystal. And some kind of a stand is helpful. And most of these, they're pretty easy to get. Most of them come with stands. And the glass ones are quite easy to find now. And they're not expensive. Yeah, it says do not use acrylic or quartz, right? Because it won't hold the charge. And quartz, that have too much internal pull or they can explode. But glass balls are very safe and they don't do this. What you're going to actually do is you're building a sun amplifier. We've told you in this course, never pull from the sun directly, and that is so. But through this amplifier, crystal ball, you can directly pull energy into it from the sun, where we're going to tell you to do it, and you or anyone can pull energy directly to you from that, endless amounts, to preserve your life force and your spirit force. Now, first you want to do a four-element cleansing on your sun crystal, on your crystal ball, and sweep it with electric blue, with your thumb. And you don't use the sun to key it. You use the sun candle to key it with the sun symbol carved on it. You need to carve your sun candle with a sun symbol on it and anoint it with it. So you put the crystal on the stand, the crystal ball on the stand, and light the sun candle. Now if you're keying it for yourself, just get down at the level with the sun crystal until you can see the flame from the sun candle in the crystal ball, and it will appear upside down, just looking like a flame upside down. Using your attention, pull the flame into the ball, and an amazing thing will happen. All of a sudden, you won't see that flame upside down anymore, but the whole ball will fill with sun energy, like a sunburst. And when that happens, you've keyed it to you. And then you can pull energy from that crystal, even if you can't see it. You can put it away then in a dresser drawer, wrap it up, whatever. It does not matter. And as long as you pull from it in any emergency, that where you're under threat or life-threatened or whatever, it will give you sun energy, but once you stop pulling, it will stop flowing sun energy, so it won't incandesce you. And when you stop pulling, the sun crystal replaces any energy that you've pulled from it directly from the sun. To key it to another person, now listen carefully to this process, because you have to do it exactly this way, or else it doesn't work. You have the person put their face across from you with the sun crystal in between. You have to have keyed it to a sun candle first to do this. But then to key it to them, if it's already keyed to you, just wipe it with electric blue. Or cut lines on it and wipe it with electric blue. But then re-key it to the sun candle, just to be sure it is still keyed to that. And then do this operation. Have the person put their face opposite yours, and the sun crystal is in between. When you see their face in the crystal, push energy through the crystal at them, and have them pull and then the sun crystal is key to them. If the person is not present, simply picture the person's face and put it in the sun crystal, just like you would do in a message box. Now, this part is very important. You have to tell them three times in the voice of command, either on the phone or in presence. And it doesn't even matter if they're unconscious at the time, if you do it with them present, because I've done this. You tell them that if they feel they're going to die and they need energy, to picture a glass ball filled with sunshine and pull. And they will. I did it with a friend. When I went to see him, to Kiev, he was out on morphine. He was totally unconscious. And he was going into surgery that day. And I gave him that command three times. And then he went to surgery, and there was a good chance he would not survive the surgery. But he did. And then he told me weeks later, he said, I had the funniest dream before my surgery. He said, I dreamed that you were telling me something. I don't know what you said, but then I had my surgery, and I knew I was falling. I could feel myself falling, and I thought, I bet I'm dying. And he said, and the darndest thing, I saw this sun ball of energy, and I pulled from it. That's exactly what he told me. And he made it. So, that's how you do it. So, at the beginning of this course, now, I don't know if Nanette was at the very beginning, but Dawn was, and I don't guess Doc was, Ayla was, but we had a premise for this course. And what that was, it was a statement we made in class one. We said, this basic magic course has a premise. And that premise said, if the four elements be understood in terms of their characteristics and performances, along with their interactions, how the elements interact with one another, a person can understand anything he or she wishes to in or about this universe. So, whether or not you were there for that premise, what I want to ask is, do you agree or disagree with that premise based on what you've learned in this course? Nanette? Guess maybe we lost Nanette? May only be you and me, Don.
Well, I agree.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah, actually that sun crystal, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
He probably enjoyed that too. That's a fine idea.
Yeah, I
do. It's real different during this course the second time.
It really is. It's been fabulous. The first time I was just, there was so much information, and I got most of it scribbled furiously, even having the textbook this time. It's been funny. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, that's really cool. Oh, I thank you so much. You've been a great attendee, a great student, a great helper. I appreciate all your help and input so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm in a state of thankfulness for, I think this is part of my birth vision, you know, and I'm actualizing it with your help.
Yes, indeed. And you're helping us actualize ours, so... And we'll talk tomorrow night then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.